I feel like being very candid, just very candid with you today. I don't have a sense of like, get up there and preach it, boy. I don't have a sense of just getting deep in the spirit. I just have a sense of being very candid with you and talking with you. And I definitely think that's the direction we're going with my talk this morning. I have to say, more times than not, my talks and my messages has a tendency to be what you would label as overtly spiritual. I can't help it. When I look at Scripture, that's what comes out to me. When the Holy Spirit speaks to me, that's how He speaks to me. What I mean by that, they may seem to be overtly spiritual as opposed to more practical in life. But there's times that God just begins to put, just kind of give me a word that is more practical than spiritual, if you was to label it. And so here a couple weeks ago, I just felt this word drop into my heart, and I immediately thought, when it was dropped into my heart, which I always do, I wonder, okay, is this something you want me to share? Is this something you want me to speak? And I felt like I should in the right time, which kind of immediately caught me off guard, because I'm like, all right, Lord, you typically don't give me just so practical messages. You typically give me, spiritual-based messages. So with that being said, I think that's why in my spirit today I'm feeling very laid back and I'm feeling just very candid, just to simply talk with you this morning about healthy living. Now, when you hear the term healthy living, you probably immediately begin to think about what we see on TV and what we read in magazines, like, cut back on your carbs, don't eat any sugar, curse soda, wake up every morning at 6 and go for a jog and come home and lift weights at night or whatever. And even though that is all good and dandy and I have no arguments against that stuff, that's not necessarily the context that I'm speaking within this morning. I want to talk about the importance and how we can live healthy lives as children of God and look at 7 factors. Now, don't let that scare you, okay? My wife has told me before, when you give a big number, that freaks everybody out because they all know you preach a long time. I'm going to go through these brief. But it's really important for us to understand the importance of being healthy. Healthy in our mind, healthy in our spirit, and healthy in our body. We all can look at examples of being healthy as opposed to being unhealthy. There's things, physical capabilities, mental stability, and even spiritual purpose. There's things that come with being healthy. But on the offset of that, when you think of being unhealthy, we really see limitations. Like, I can tell you right now, I'm probably the most unhealthy that I've ever been in my whole life. I weigh more than I've ever weighed. I don't have the mobility that I used to have. Strength-wise, I'm just as strong as I was, in the past 20 years. But strength is, that's not everything, right? And so I can, looking at my own self, I can see a complete difference of what I am now and what I used to be. And it kind of has a bearing on my psyche sometimes. And the reason I say that is to say this. When we're healthy, there is always things we can do that we can't do when we're unhealthy. When we're healthy, there is places we can go that we can't go if we're unhealthy. If we're healthy, it creates a confident mindset and a confident attitude that we just don't have when we're unhealthy. When we're healthy, it creates a sense of capability that we just don't have when we're unhealthy. Am I making sense this morning? And so when we're talking about being healthy, so oftentimes in the worldview, it's so biased on our bodies. You know, people equate six packs to being healthy. People equate being able to run 5 miles as, you know, being healthy, or being able to run a mile, you know, and I guess in a certain amount of time as being healthy. And that is byproduct of being healthy, but truth be told, that is not the totality of being healthy. I've met and talked with people that was extremely physically healthy, but emotionally they was a basket case. Or I've met people that is extremely fit, and even mentally they're strong, they got it together, they're successful, but spiritually they're absolute bankrupt. So when you look at being healthy, there's a couple things we have to realize, that it is a package. It is not something that's just singular. And something else we have to realize, that you and I, if we're not healthy, we're not going to be able to do what God has created us to do, what God has called us to do, what God has put in our heart to do. Amen? How many of you want to do what God has put in your heart to do? How many of you want to live a long, blessed life, full of purpose and full of destiny? How many of you want to reach out and be a good light in the darkness and be influential in who you are in your community? Well, if there's one thing that will prevent that, stop that, and oppose that, it is our lack of being healthy. Period. If you're not healthy in your body, you're not going to be able to push your body how it needs to be pushed. If you're not healthy in your mind, you're not going to be as stable as you need to be when times get rough and you go through rough seasons, or to help carry people when they're going through a rough season. When we are unstable in our mind, it's hard enough carrying ourselves. The idea of carrying anybody else is just off the charts, out of the picture. Right? And if we're spiritually unhealthy, how can we lead somebody to the Lord? How can we operate in the anointing? How can we have a clear spirit or a clear mind to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit and take steps of boldness that declares and expects the power of God to manifest? It's just not going to happen if we're unhealthy. Okay, I told you I won't be super long on this, so I need to carry on. So, seven key factors for being healthy. Now, most of these is no-brainers, and again, very, very practical. But it's something that we need to be reminded of and we need to think about. So the first one is, the first key factor of being healthy is having a relationship with God. Now, if you got your phones out, I would encourage you to take some notes, because you probably won't remember everything I'm saying. But use your phone for some good this morning. And just write down the seven key factors for being healthy so you can look at this at another date. See, what's very interesting is that you and I are made to have a relationship with God. Now, when I say relationship with God, I'm not necessarily meaning being saved or being born again by the work of Christ on the cross. I'm talking about having a relationship with God, a communicating, speaking, hearing and obeying relationship with God Almighty. Now, we have a different kind of relationship with God than all the other creations on the earth. The Bible, what we really see in Scripture is God spoke into existence all of creation, but when it came to humanity, He said, "Let us make." Let us make humanity into our image and into our likeness. So we wasn't spoken to existence. We was made into existence. And when we were made into existence, we wasn't made from a zero existence. We was made in the image and the likeness of God. Which what that represents is we was made with a capacity to have a relationship with God. And if we do not exercise that blessing or exercise that way of us being made, guess what? We're just not going to be healthy. Imagine having something you created. That was made for something specific. Let's say this. Let's say you have an engine that was made to run gasoline, but you just so happen to put diesel in that thing. And you try running diesel in that gasoline engine. It's just not going to set well, is it? It's not going to operate correctly. It just won't function. But you and I, we were made, we were created. And the Bible even says that God breathed his breath into us. And when it says that God breathed his breath into us, it literally means that God breathed his spirit into us. And then the Bible says that Adam became a living being. So you and I were created to have a relationship with God, to talk with him, to hear from him, to obey him, to connect with him, to be blessed by him. We're different than all the other animals. Not other animals, that came out wrong. That sounds like I'm saying we're an animal. Please don't repeat I said that, okay? That's like the kind of statement that you get 100 emails from and everyone's coming down on you because we're not animals, right? We might act like them sometimes, but we're not animals. But here's another thing. Yeah, man fell, man sinned, and in that sin there became an unhealthiness. There became a sickness inside of humanity. But God made a way. So God made humanity to have a relationship with him, and when humanity failed, sinned, then God later on made a way for humanity to have that, to still have that intimate relationship, and he made that through Jesus Christ. So the first key factor, if we're going to be healthy, is we have to act on our relationship with God. There's just no way around about it. You can be fit in your body, you can be fit in your mind, but if we don't have a relationship with God, there is going to be a part of us that's just sick, dysfunctional, not operating how we could operate. And we're going to miss out on so much in life. Number two, the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Then Jesus went on to say the second one is like it, and that is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The second way of being healthy is having good relations with people. There's two things that really matter in our relationship with people. That is to love people, and that is to forgive people. Two things that really matter. The Bible even says that if we don't forgive people, then our Father won't forgive us. That's kind of a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? And then just the love factor. Not everybody is lovable, huh? Right? Mike Bradley gave us an awesome message last year about loving and not liking. Remember that, Mike? That was an awesome message. How we may not like one another, but we got to love one another. I mean, sometimes my wife don't like me, but she loves me. You guys got really quiet on that. I'm just kidding. I'm not giving you a view into a dysfunctional marriage whatsoever. I'm just kidding. You like me, don't you? Wow. I learn something every day, and sometimes revelation comes from behind the pulpit. I've been working really hard for you lately, and you better say the right thing, woman, or... Daddy knows how to pull rank. If you're visiting, I'm just kidding, you guys. I'm kidding. I am the head and she's the neck. It's just the way it goes. No, seriously. You know, we have to love people. And we have to be willing to forgive people. If you don't love humanity, that is such a point and an equation to be unhealthy. because a lack of love really creates a sense of harshness and unkindness and not being generous toward the people that God tells us to love. And then the forgiveness factor, unforgiveness is like a sickness that rots away our being. I mean, when you don't forgive, you can't get over that hill or over that mountain. When we don't forgive, there is the pain and the offense and the struggle that maybe we had years ago is always so relevant in our mind. It's always so right there in our face. And it never allows us to rise above. It never allows us to get beyond. It never allows us to go further. You can be doing great. You can be, you know, just happy-go-lucky. Things are going good on the up and up. And all of a sudden, something triggers a past experience that maybe we have unforgiveness about. And next thing you know, we go from love to hate. We go from generous to selfishness. We go from being optimistic to pessimistic. We go from being positive to negative. We go from all these total polar opposites. And it just comes from us not forgiving. There's another area of forgiveness. Sometimes people have problems forgiving people, but then sometimes people have problems forgiving God. And this one is even deep, is rooted deeper. You believe in God, you trust, well, I don't know about trust God, you believe in God, but yet because what God has allowed you to go through, there's become an offense toward God. God, I trusted you, and you forced me into this season. God, I trusted you, and you took this away from me. God, I believed in you. I gave to you. God, I positioned myself to serve you, and this is what you allowed to happen in my life. Now I am experiencing sorrow. Now I'm experiencing hurt. Now I'm experiencing loss. Now I'm experiencing all these things that I never expected. I never asked for, hoped for, always worked against. And now because of you, I'm facing this giant that never won't leave me alone. How many of you have ever, well, you don't have to raise your hands, but I think we can all say that we've struggled at some point or another in this manner, in this fashion of God allowing something to go wrong in our life and then us not completely coming to terms with it and therefore not forgiving God. Now, we won't dare say, I hate you, God. We won't dare, like, curse God. And we're probably on the fence about really airing our feelings toward God. I mean, I've been there. I've gotten upset with God, and then I go to say something, and right after I say it, I back up and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and I start looking for the lightning bolts, you know? See, forgiveness is so important when it comes to us and our relationships with God and us and our relationship with people. If we don't get forgiveness out of our heart, out of our soul, there is always going to be a portion of unhealthiness that is in us. And you may not be thinking about it, and you may be forgetting about it for seasons and periods, but if we're not careful, at some of the most important times in our life, that unforgiveness will spike back up and it knocks us on our backside, handicaps us, hurts us, because it's an unhealthiness that hasn't been taken care of. Are you breathing this morning? Good. Number three. Now, some of you might be like, boy, you need to shut up. Don't even talk to me about that one. Number three is in our bodies, healthy in our bodies, talking about the food we eat. Can someone say, don't go there? I got the mic, so you just got to listen. Seriously, the Bible speaks about what we put in our bodies. Now, I'm not a nutritionist, so I'm not even going to go there, but we all have common sense on what's healthy and what's not. Something that's very ironic about food in the church, especially in a traditional sense, back in the day, and there's still churches this way, churches preached hard, like hellfire and brimstone, about certain things that you put in your body, certain actions, certain habits. But those individuals that preached hellfire and brimstone about, taking in certain things would go after a church and become gluttonous with some of the most unhealthy food that one can cook up. And I always found that to be very opposing to what they thought truth was. I found that to be so contradictory. Here one is going to preach purity on what's going in the body on this in this matter, but then they're going to come and basically do the same thing with another substance. It don't make sense. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to be very vague on purpose, not want to make anybody, feel funny or whatever, but the Bible is very important about what talks about what goes in us in a very direct way. Now, we know the Old Testament is full of scripture about what goes in the body. And the Old Testament lists a long list of things that one should or should not eat. Different types of meat, different types of drink, just different types of things that people eat. And there's a very spiritual or metaphorical application of that, but there is also a very practical application to that. The practical application is that God wanted his people healthy. And God knew that if his people was to eat certain things at that season and at that time, then his people would grow unhealthy. If they ate certain types of meat, there's a chance that they could get sick. And so we have to realize that really God does care about us and our bodies. And we have to also realize that what we put in our body so oftentimes determines the position of our physical health. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he's probably wondering when I would actually open the scriptures. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Daniel 1:15-17 says, "At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds." Now, this is an area of verse that we can get very deep into, and we see two applications. We see a spiritual application, and we distinctly see a physical or practical application. So what I just read was a time when there were altogether four Hebrew children, and they were put in a position to eat all the good food of the king. But the good food of the king was food that they were not supposed to eat as children of God. And they said, "Hey, we don't want to eat that food." But that was a disrespect and a dishonor to the king. They could have died for it. But then they kind of just said, "Hey, you let us eat what we want to eat and then compare us, test us." And so we see that they drank water and they ate vegetables. Now, I'm not saying that we need to be vegetarians. That wouldn't work, would it? No. All right, someone said good. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying. The point that I'm making is the food made a difference in what they were to do for God. The food made a difference in their position. The food made a difference in their purpose. The food made a difference in their destiny. The food made a difference in how they was even accepted. And in a very practical way, one of the things that we can recognize through the Bible is simply food makes a difference. What we put in our bodies makes a difference. What we consume makes a difference. And I'm not just talking about one little or two little things. I'm talking about the totality of anything that we can consume makes a difference. Whether that be tobacco, whether that be fried chicken, whether that be too much sugar, whether that be sodas, whether that be alcohol, whether that be pork, or whether that be goat, or whether that be shark, or whatever it might be, anything and everything that goes in our bodies makes a difference. And to be straight up honest with you, so oftentimes we feel like junk when we wake up in the morning. We're tired and we're lethargic through the day. We don't feel like doing something for God, not because we don't have a heart, but it's because what we put in our gut the night or the day before. Woo, thank you for those five nods. Now, seriously, I just want to be so candid with you. I'm not trying to be the preacher today. I just want us to think about these things. We want to be healthy, right? We want to be able to do everything that God wants us to do. You know, there's been like seasons for us because just of our lifestyle. We haven't been able to eat good, healthy food. We had to shove into our system, you know, bad food. And I don't want to say what that is because my bad food might be good food for you. I don't know. But I can honestly say there's been times in our life when we've had to put the bad food in us. And it physically changed us. Now, I'm not talking about weight-wise. I'm not talking about gut-wise. I'm just talking about mentally, emotionally, energy, how we feel. Has even affected my ability to preach. Has affected my ability to lead on a one-on-one basis. Because what we put in us matters. What we put in us changes things. And my heart behind this point today is real simple. Let us become more aware and be more disciplined when it comes to what we put in us so that we can maintain a sense of physical health so that we can carry out everything that God puts in our heart to do. Amen? I'm not up here to tell you what you should or you shouldn't eat. That's none of my business. But I think it's important that every single one of us do pay attention because it does affect us for the good and for the bad. Amen? I'm going to rush through a few of these because I got 5 minutes before it's 11:45. Our minds, the Bible says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Isn't it crazy that what goes in our mind can just like totally transform and affect our whole life, our whole day? Wake up in the morning thinking negative, it just kind of sets a precedent for the next day, for the whole day. Wake up thinking positive, thinking about the blessings of God, thinking about scriptures, thinking about I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, just thinking all these just good, pure things, how that just kind of sets you up to just tackle the day. And what's also ironic that it just seems like we, and it's the sinful nature, is what I believe, so oftentimes we mentally gravitate instinctually toward the negative as opposed to instinctually gravitating toward the positive. Right? I mean, just mentally. It's like we're dealing with a matter, and all of a sudden, we think the worst-case scenario. It's instinctually. You get a chance to hear some news. Instinctually, we gravitate toward the fearful news as opposed to the good news. And it just kind of messes us up mentally. And there's one, there's not too many things in the Bible where the Bible says do something every single day. Every single day. But one thing specifically that it says to do every single day, can someone say daily, is to renew our mind. Daily. Paul said, renew your mind daily. Daily. Daily put the word in your mind. Daily remind yourself of the promises of God. Daily remind that you're a new creation created by God. Daily remind yourself that you are loved by God. Daily remind yourself that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Daily pick yourself up by the word of God. Daily remind us of the faithfulness and the goodness and the sovereignty of God. Every single day, because guess what? Every single day, the devil tries to beat us with negative and fearful thoughts. Every single day, we look at the newspaper, we look online, we watch the news. Every single day, there's all this negative stuff. And it weighs on our mental health. It weighs on our overall healthiness. It's easy to think about us being hurt. It's easy to think about the possibility of losing everything you worked so hard for. It's easy to think about dying prematurely. It's easy to think about your children being abducted or being caught up in a gang or being addicted to drugs or being involved in a perverted relationship. It's easy just to kind of go down that route. And we have to be so purposeful fighting to fight for our mind. We have to be very aggressive fighting for the thoughts in our head. Being intentional about not thinking about the worst case scenario. Now, please don't think I'm saying we have to be like the ostrich that shoves their head in the hole, right? There's all this trouble in the world. Stick your head in the hole. It's like, oh, I don't see it. I don't hear it. I don't know it. I'm good to go, but my head's in a hole. That could have been in a Dr. Seuss book. I'm not saying that. I've always been one to act and to believe in confrontation when necessary, but we don't have to dwell on it, do we? And we don't have to allow the enemy to magnify possibilities. You know that a few years ago I used to do quite a bit of human trafficking stuff, and there is a harsh byproduct of that as a father. For me, it was the possibility of my own daughter going through something like this. And it would haunt me. I even had a friend once who said, man, you come back from this trip and you see your daughter. How does that affect you? And I'm not a crying dude, but I almost broke down and started crying right there. It haunted me. And even to this day, certain things haunt me. And I had to make a choice. I had to make a mental choice not to go there. I didn't think about my daughter in that circumstance. I didn't think about my wife in that circumstance. I didn't think about what could happen because very bad people has issues with some of the things I've been a part of. I just didn't think about it. Now, to be very straight up with you, it's very easy for me to think about it. It's very easy for me to think about, okay, what would happen if a car drove up while she's walking to school and they jumped out, blah, blah, blah. What would, okay, and it was very easy for me to put down a process. And then it was very easy for me to think about point A, point B, and point C. If this didn't happen, what would that happen? How would this look? What do I need to do here? Where I would go? Who would I would call? And it would be very easy for me to be so overwhelmed by the possibility of something very, very, very bad happening because of something that I was involved in for God. That was me. You might be in your own boat. It might be very easy for you to think about being sick. It might be very easy for you to think about your kids not graduating. It might be very easy for you to think about never succeeding in life and never being successful and never getting up and out of your current circumstance. See, we all have these mental things that can overtake us, that's bad, that's negative, that's hard, that can completely make us unhealthy mentally. And we have to be intentional. We have to rise up. Number one, we got to renew our mind daily. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but God has given me a sound mind. Amen? God will not allow his seed to go begging for bread. God has given me the power to obtain wealth. God said, I can do anything as long as I trust him. We have to rise up. God said, by his stripes I am healed. God said, if I will raise my kids in his way, then they will not depart from it. See, it's so easy to be overwhelmed by the negative and abusive and addictive and mind-destroying thoughts that the enemy tries to throw in our mind. But if we rise up and we realize the Bible says that the violence taketh by force, and we violently take by force the purity and the blessings and the promises and the strength and the power that comes from God, then we can take control of our minds. Hallelujah. Amen. By our mouths, Proverbs 18:20. One says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Look at someone and say, if you talk negative, shut your mouth. Look at another person and say, if you gossiping, shut your mouth. Out of our mouth comes life and death. We really forget this. God used his mouth to create life. Then God created us in his image and in his likeness. So if his mouth created life, what is our mouth going to do? Huh? What is our mouth going to do? If we were created in his image and in his likeness, and his mouth spoke into existence life, or he had the power to speak into existence death, what is our mouth going to do? Right? So we have the power in our words to speak life and blessing, or to speak death and to speak curse. What do you speak when you look at yourself in the mirror? What do you speak when you see that home you'd like to buy? What do you speak when you dream of a new job? What do you speak when all hell is breaking loose? What do you speak when your kid is acting crazy and it looks like they're going astray? What do you speak? Do you speak, oh, they're going to hell in a handbasket? Do you speak, oh, they're going to be addicted? Do you speak, oh, I'm ugly and I'm not this and I'm not that? Do you speak, I'll never get into that home? Do you speak, I'll never have a good job? Do you speak, my marriage is doomed to hell? Do you speak, they're going to have an affair on me? Do you speak to all this negative? What do we speak? If we speak life, then life will be created. If we speak promise, promise will be created. If we speak blessing, blessing will be created. If we speak health, health will be created. We're created in the image and the likeness of God. And just like he spoke life into existence, we too can speak life into existence. What do we speak? Actions. From our actions should be work, should be play, should be exercising the gifts, and the pursuit of desires. And all of this is scriptural, just don't have time to get to it. Bible teaches us that we should work. In fact, it says if you don't work, you don't eat. In Ecclesiastes, which Lorana is starting to teach this coming Wednesday, it says for us to work and enjoy the fruit of our labor. The Bible says that gifts has been given to men. We need to exercise those gifts. The Bible says that if we delight in the ways of the Lord, then he will give us the desires of our heart, our pursuits. What's our action? See, this is all about being healthy. If we don't work, we're not going to be healthy. If we don't enjoy the fruit of our labors, we're not going to be healthy. If we don't exercise the giftings that he's given us, we're not going to be healthy. If we don't pursue the desire of our hearts, we're not going to be healthy. I don't care if you're 80 years old. If you got a desire in your heart, pursue it. If you're 8 years old, you got a desire in your heart, pursue it. If you're 40 years old and you got a desire in your heart, pursue it. It creates a healthiness. The last and the seventh thing. The seventh thing is with our finances. I said this verse once already, but let me read it. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. God gives us the power to make money. In a nutshell, that's what it says. Maybe you're broke. Maybe you don't have enough money. Maybe your job is a dead-end job. The Bible says, and this is talking about God's heart toward his children, and if you have Jesus in your heart, you are one of his children. It says that he gives us the ability to produce wealth. Now, he may not give us the wealth, but he will give us the ability to produce the wealth. See, I believe with all my heart, if we need more money, we just got to start praying and start obeying. Yeah, we might have to work a little bit more. Yes, we might have to slam some midnight hours. Yes, we might have to take a step of faith. Yes, we might have to do things differently than we are doing them. Yes, we may not be able to come home at 5 o'clock and sit on our backside and watch TV for the next 4 and 5 hours. Yes, we might miss some games. Yes, we may not be able to watch our kids play every single game they play. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says if a man cannot provide for his family, he is worse than an infidel. So what's worth more? Watching every single game your kid plays or making more money so your family can have a good life when you're dead and gone? Woo, now you're quiet. Balance, balance. I'm a believer in supporting our kids. I go to every game that I can, but I cannot make every single game because I'm busy working. I'm busy taking care of responsibilities. And I always have in the back of my mind, how can I make extra money? How can I make extra money? Not because I just love money. No, because I know I got to provide for my family. I got to take care of my family. I got to leave something for my family. Preachers don't get retirement. I don't have a 401k. I got to pay for my own insurance. So in my mind, and that's not a slam against any kind of ministry whatsoever. It's just the way it is. Those are the territory. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how can I make more money? How can I make more money? How can I get out of debt? How can I provide? How can I do more? And I believe with all my heart, and God has always given me a way to make an extra, a little bit of extra money for the family. Because God gives us the ability to produce wealth. So what are we doing with our ability? Some of you have numerous skills and numerous giftings, but you're only making money with one of them. I'm not trying to hammer on anybody or anything. You guys believe that? But I have a heart for every single one of us to be healthy. Healthy. Healthy because of our relationship with God. Healthy because of our relationship with people. Healthy because of what we eat. Healthy because of what we allow into our minds. Healthy because of what we allow to come out of our mouths. Healthy because of our actions. And healthy because we use the ability that God has given us to produce wealth that can be a blessing to our family and a blessing to our community. Amen? So in ending, it is God's will for us to be healthy. And very last, if we are not, it's our fault. If we are not, it's our fault. If we're not healthy, it's not God's fault. It's not our neighbor's fault. It's not our wife's fault. It's not our husband's fault. It's not our kid's fault. If we're not healthy, it ain't nobody's fault but who I look at in the mirror when I rise every morning. Amen? I guess I'm finished. I got more to say, but I'm not going to say it. Come on, stand to your feet. Let me pray over you. Let's sing a couple minutes. You guys can be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I speak health over our people. Health over our people. Everything I talked about today, Lord, let it be something that each and every one of us begins to realize the importance of having in our lives. The importance of relationship with you and people, the importance of what we eat, the importance of what's in our mind coming out of our mouth, the importance of what we do, and the importance of even making more money to provide for ourselves and provide for the community, for the kingdom. Let us just not forget about this, but let us apply this. In the name of Jesus Christ, everybody said amen.